Welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Ryans, and today is July 28th, 2010. Today's episode's bandwidth is brought to you by 101.com. Use the provider that OTR Westerns uses by going to otrwesterns.com/web. And for this week only, you get 1 year free web hosting with 2 domain names, unlimited bandwidth, and 150 gigabyte storage. For more details, some restrictions may apply, go to otrwesterns.com/web. Again, otrwesterns.com/web. Now, we don't want to forget about Amazon. We do love Amazon, and they've been pretty good to us because you guys love using Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any online shopping, first go to otrwesterns.com/amazon to start your shopping experience today. Now, with those ads out of the way, real quick, I want to get into some nitty-gritty. Am I doing too many shows? That's a question I have. Right now, we're up to 2 Challenge of the Yukons and 2 Lone Rangers, which means 7 days a week plus 2. That's 9 episodes a week. If I'm doing too much, please let me know. I've started a poll. You can go to otrwesterns.com. On the right-hand side, you'll actually see the poll link. Only vote once, and you have a choice from 10 to 1. How many shows do you think I should do a week? If the overwhelming majority of people tell me, hey, only do 5 a week, 7 is just way too much, then we will do that. We'll probably cut out Challenge of the Yukon, which is what's going to happen today, or which is going to be played today, and the Cisco Kid. That would be 2 options. I don't want to cut out the Lone Ranger only because I have 30 years worth doing 1 a week. So I want to keep that one going. So again, go to otrwesterns.com/web. Go to otrwesterns.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll see that poll. We're going to keep it open until the 16th at midnight Pacific Standard Time. It will go away. So please do vote. If you don't have a chance to go there, do send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Let me know what you guys think. Again, this is your guys' show, so I do it for you guys. And if you think, hey, you guys are overwhelming, then let me know. I am thinking that may be the possibility of too much overwhelming you guys. Only because if you look at Adam Graham, now I don't know how to compare myself to him, but our show started. His detective show is a 5-day show, started the same time mine did. I advertised roughly just as much as I possibly could on his show, and he still says my name quite a bit on his show, which I do appreciate. And I do his audio, but I don't do it because of the show. Separate than that. So I don't expect anything, from him. But his numbers are twice, even 3 times as much as mine. And I don't know what's causing that. I don't know if it's the content, if it's the shows, what it is. 6 Shooter's ending, so maybe we drop that one off. We'll have to figure something out. It's up to you guys. I even say 10 because I may want to go to more shows. Right now, Challenge of the Yukon, they're 15-minute shows. And it's going to take me a long time to burn through these 15-minute shows. Right now I have about 140 episodes that are 15 minutes. Doing 2 a week, that still gives me over a year and a half, give or take, of shows with 52 weeks in a year. So I still have a week and a half of 2 shows. So if I jumped up to 4, then it gives me about half a year, a quarter of a year. So it's something, we have to look at. But let me know. Send me an email. That's probably going to be the best way. I'll correspond back and forth with you guys. Or you can call 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Now, today's episode is 15 minutes long, but I have, of course, been talking. So with 5 minutes coming up, let's just make this a 20-minute episode. And let's get into today's episode. Again, like I said, it's going to be Challenge of the Yukon. This one originally aired September 21st, 1944. And the title is A Masquerade. Now, before I get started, let me give you one more bit of information. I have put on, which I haven't put a link yet, so don't worry about that, but something to think about. I am going to slowly, the shows will drop off. I'm not going to keep all 200 episodes on my server. I do only have a limited amount of web space, so I can't store all these files. Right now, I am up to about 2 gigs worth of files. This is episode 277, so you can see how many episodes we've done. And that includes 2 of the videos. And if you guys want, real quick, just pop in my mind, if you guys want me to do a monthly video or a weekly video instead of one of the shows, maybe that's an option. I'm not sure. I've resisted making an application and selling it because my goal is not to, you know, take money from you guys. I understand the economy is the way it is, and if you guys want me to create an app, I would more than likely do that, but it's not something, I don't want to create just a special segregation of people who are donating. If you guys want to donate, there's a donate button on the site, and it's up to you guys. Again, the show is completely self-funded from you guys. I don't have any outside money coming in, other than what you guys participate with. The one-on-one, if you guys go ahead and sign up and become a member of one-on-one and actually get a couple web hosts through them, then I'll get a small commission from that. Same thing with Amazon. I only get 4% off the total purchases. Not very much, but it helps, and that's all that really matters. You know, I'm not trying to make this my income. But I think I'm rambling now, so let's get into today's episode. I'll remind you, since I was talking a while there, it is called Masquerade, and the title, or the date of this one, September 21st, 1944, and of course, it's Challenge of the Yukon. Hope you guys do enjoy.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his Wonder Dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. Sergeant Preston and the Great Dog King traveled a snow-covered trail to Melville, the lean, powerfully built Malamute racing far ahead of his master's dog team. As he stood on the runners of his sled, the Mountie saw King pause in his tracks to nuzzle the snow, then wait, motionlessly.
You Malamute!
Oh. Well, what is it, Malamute? Well, looks like this man took a bad beating. Wait till I see you. I never saw him before. Young chap, barely breathing. There's a bullet wound and a nasty cut on his forehead. We'll have to get him into town and fast. Whoever threw him off the trail left him for dead. It looks like he's not far from it either.
Even as the scarlet-coated policeman carried the unconscious man to his sled, two men were on the trail from Melville to a trading post north of the settlement. One of them sat in the sled, while the other rode the runners, his cold, narrow eyes on the dogs ahead of him as he spoke.
You got it all ready so you can say whatever's needed?
Yeah, sure. That young punk did enough talking on the boat to cover everything. I know his life story backwards and forwards. From what he said about the old man, the old fellow ought to be up in years now. It won't be hard to pull the wool over his eyes.
Well, just be sure you answer to the name of Lance Peters from now on. First couple of times, it might seem obvious, so be careful. And remember, we're in this together. As soon as the old gent lets you know where this strike of his is located, you get rid of him. From there on, it'll be ours.
It's quite of you to let me handle the toughest part of this job.
What are you complaining about? I got the kid out of the way, didn't I? You look more like him than I do. I'll leave you off the trading post. From there, you're on your own. You know where to find me.
Don't worry, pal. You'll hear from me.
At a small trading post that was the meeting place for trappers and prospectors for miles around, a group of men sat around an old iron stove that glowed cherry red. The expressions on their faces were of amusement, disgust, and interest as they listened to an old-timer whose merry blue eyes turned serious as he spoke.
Yes, sir. I've lived through all kinds of weather. One year here, it was so cold, I fired my rifle and the bullet froze before it could leave it.
You're the limit, Mac.
You mean you don't believe me?
Believe you? Your stories is all alike, except that one stands higher than the other. Say, what about that nephew of yours you say is coming up here to work the gold mine you say you found?
Yeah, what about that?
If you sure enough found one, seems like you could let your old friends in on where it is.
The sharks have already showed you a chunk of gold that got out of the ground. And when he gets here, we're working it together. And I ain't telling nobody but him where it is, neither. We're going to be two of the richest men on earth. Yep. He's all the folks I got now.
Yeah, it's a fine thing. And he couldn't even tell us what he looked like. See, I wouldn't put it past you to get somebody up here to pretend he's your nephew. Just to make the story good. Oh, why don't you say you ain't found nothing?
Well, consign your Henry Hyde. I already told you I ain't seen the boy since he was knee-high to a beaver. How could I tell you what he looks like? Now that his mother's dead, he's going to live here with me.
Me? I'll believe it when I see him.
You two are suspicious sons of guns. Always doubting a man. But you'll live to eat your words, and by golly, I'm going to make certain you do. Now, I guess I'll get back to the cabin. But remember what I said. You'll learn not to doubt McGregor.
The next day at the trading post, Sergeant Preston measured the expression on McGregor's face, which seemed, for the first time since the Monty had known the old storyteller, to sag tiredly.
You were going to be stopping here long, Sergeant?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, we're mighty glad to see you anyway.
By the way, Mac, when are we going to see that nephew of yours?
Yes, sir. What about that, Mac?
Well, I don't know why you fellas are so danged impatient. He ain't your nephew. Takes a long time to come up from the States.
I say, there was a young fella in here yesterday late, asking the way to your cabin.
Yeah?
Didn't say who he was, though.
Well, I guess I'll be going. I got a lot to do.
Well, what's your hurry? No stories today?
Huh?
Stories. You know, them whoppers you're always telling. Never knowed you'd let a day go by before without adding to that score that you're going to have to settle up when you get to the other side of the Great Divide.
There you go again. Never taking a man serious.
Oh, just a minute, Mac. I'll go with you.
Oh, all right, Sergeant. So long, boys.
Bye, Mac.
Come on, King, old boy. Goodbye, Sam.
Drop back again, Sergeant.
I'll do that.
You plan to come out to the cabin, Sergeant?
Well, I might stop by later in the afternoon, Mac. I expect to be up near the rapids.
Uh-huh.
When are you going to start working that strike I hear you located?
Oh, consign it, Sergeant. I guess a man has got to talk to somebody, and if you don't mind listening to me, I'd like
to... Well, I don't mind, Mac. You know that.
Well, the truth of the matter is, Sergeant, my nephew is here.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, sure it is. Only when a man ain't seen his nephew for as long as I ain't seen mine, he shouldn't spend so much time windjamming about it. I mean, I've set quite a store by the boy, seeing as how I don't have a son of my own. He ain't just what I expected Sarah's son to be like.
It'll take you a while to get used to having a nephew around, Mac.
Sure, that's what I mean. Not that I don't want any of them friends of mine at the post to know it, you understand, Sergeant. It's just that I want to kind of get used to the boy myself first.
Well, don't worry. You can trust me not to mention him. And now that he's here, you'll spend most of your time prospecting, won't you?
Well, I aim to show him the location this afternoon.
Well, then we may see you later. Get the dogs up, King.
Yeah, might as well travel, I guess.
Sergeant Preston was silent as his team pulled along the snow-covered trail. He thought of McGregor's nephew and the old man's dispirited attitude. But the unconscious young man he'd found along the trail still concerned the Mountie, and he turned toward the village of a neighboring Indian tribe where he planned to question the chief. However, his courage shed no light on the mysterious traveler who'd been left without identification. It was late afternoon when he turned his team toward McGregor's cabin, following the trail beside Blackstone Creek. Meanwhile, several miles up the creek, where a ledge jutted over a stretch of treacherous rapids, McGregor stood talking to the man who masqueraded as his nephew.
Trail over here, lads. And there's more gold in this here ground than you and me has ever seen before.
Sure is a lucky break for me.
Yeah, and it's all ours.
Wait a minute, old-timer. Not ours, it's mine.
What you say?
I said it's mine. Oh, my...
Lance, that gun. Have you lost your senses?
My name isn't Lance, Grandpa. It's George Thompson.
But that ain't going to make any difference to you.
Then you're not with me.
Nah, I'm not your nephew. I came up here on the steamer City of Seattle with your real nephew. He told me all about you and the strike of yours. Too bad for him that he couldn't keep his mouth shut.
But Lance, where's Lance?
Dead, somewhere on the trail from Seahorse to Melville. There won't be anybody who'll ever know who he was because I took his papers and identification.
You killed him.
That's right, old-timer, and you're going to get a dose of the same medicine.
Well, you wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't dare pull a murder, but this ain't going to look like a murder. Stalk you with the butt of this revolver and toss you over the rapids.
I can't stop you. You've already committed one murder, but you won't get away with this, you... Wait, no!
Sergeant Preston's dog team rounded a curve in the trail just in time to see the man push McGregor into the rushing waters. In the space of a minute, the Monty had the imposter covered with his gun, but he looked helplessly toward the water where Mac was caught in the current. The iciness of the water had revived the old man. Though weighted by his Mackinaw, he was powerless. The spray from the rapid rose slightly beyond him. It was a mad swirl of water, a horrible death trap. Sergeant Preston looked from his prisoner to the ledge, where King was poised for an instant.
You don't have a thing on me, Melly.
Hanging's the penalty for murder in this country.
Yeah? What are you going to do about the old man? You could throw him a rope and save him.
The policeman knew the man in front of him was weighing the chances of escape. It was then King hit the icy water. He was caught in the current, but he fought it, struggling to reach the man who was frantically trying to keep afloat. King swam toward him, the water chopping, pulling, tearing against his body. But the powerful muscles surged through it, turning him to the middle of the water that seemed possessed of a demon. The great Malamute felt the impact as McGregor was helplessly thrown against him. Weakly, the man flung both arms about the great dog's neck. Then King turned and drained every ounce of his strength to pull his burden to safety.
Good boy, King. Come on now. Here, boy. Here.
I got him.
It was a panting but triumphant dog who lay 5 minutes later at his master's feet, while McGregor huddled shivering in blankets. George Thompson turned cold eyes to the dog and to the man he'd attempted to murder. Late the next day, Sergeant Preston and the great dog King were at McGregor's cabin, where the men from the trading post sat around the bunk where Lance Peters rested against pillows. A broad grin was on his bandaged face as they watched his uncle sip a steaming cup of tea.
Yes, sir. By golly, after that cold swim I had yesterday, I can't drink enough hot tea.
Swim, he calls it, Sergeant. I'm thinking it was that dog of yours that had to swim.
And you should have seen him swimming, too. Only a Hercules could have made out in that current, I can tell you. Hercules a king, I guess.
Yes, he did a grand job. Both you and Lance are safe, Mac.
Yeah, and both of us owing our safety to you.
Well, after you told me what Thompson had said before he threw you into the creek, I knew immediately who Lance was.
Yes, it's too bad I wasn't conscious to tell you. I could have saved you a lot of trouble, Sergeant.
You took a pretty bad beating.
Well, beat up or not, he sure looks better to me than that shifty-eyed crook that was posing at him. Oh, I'm telling you, my boy, when I saw him, I was mighty disappointed in what I thought was my nephew.
You got the fellow who was working with Thompson, too, didn't you, Sergeant?
Yes, they're both behind bars.
Yes, and I'll bet if I told this story to the bunch of you, none of you would have believed it, would you?
Well, now, Mac, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. Well, you would if you hadn't have got it word for word from the sergeant yourself. Maybe from now on you won't be so ready to doubt me.
You have told some things. It was pretty hard to believe, Mac. Not that we didn't believe, you understand. But, well, it looks like this is on the level, and you've got a mighty fine nephew.
Yes, sir.
You see, I told you I'd make you eat your words.
What's wrong, Mac?
Oh, I was just thinking, Sergeant. If it wasn't for King here, I wouldn't be able to... I guess maybe I shouldn't do so much talking, huh?
Yes, fellow. Everything here is going to be all right.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. All characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They are sent to you each week at this same time and originate in our transcription studios. Bob Height speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Check out the show notes at otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Until the next show, have a great day, and we'll see you guys later.